This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome, everybody. The Employee Assembly meeting on October 2nd is called to order at 12:15. Are there any late additions to the agenda? Late additions to the agenda?
Didn't you have one?
No.
I think just late attendees.
I have a couple. I would like to add representation for the academic non-professorial staff. Thank you. Also, we wanted to touch again maybe on the employee care fund.
It's still on there.
It is. Very good. And volunteers for the employee celebration day. Just throwing that out there. Any other additions, late additions to the agenda? Nope. Okay. So let's move on to approval of the minutes for 9:18. Did everybody have a chance to take a look at them?
Second.
Wonderful. Thank you. The minutes of 9:18 have been approved. Moving on to the business of the day. So the president's addressed the staff, looking for your feedback, suggestions.
I think we discussed this at the last meeting, but it just didn't happen. And, we should really make sure that even if the staff people at the auditorium tell us what's going on, we should just really show up to people. So I think that was somewhat of a deterrent if you ask questions.
Okay. Let me make that note for next year. I also made a note that perhaps everything that the MC would like to say should be done at the beginning, because at the end people just want to get up and leave and go to lunch. So I think that changed up for next year, hopefully. The numbers were great. We're still debating on if it was 420 or above, but you can go with 4. You think 420 is more accurate than 450?
I mean, unless people didn't take a sandwich.
I think there were quite a few people. I saw quite a few people just kind of exiting out. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
people take apples.
I think 450 is a fair number then.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great. I think that we had some really great questions, and I thank folks for coming and speaking up. Were there any questions that you guys felt that should have been asked that weren't asked? I thought that the questions were fantastic. I had a couple that came in fairly late and didn't make it to the meeting. One was a concern about getting the fitness centers upgraded, and they thought that the maintenance was a little deplorable. That has been passed on to Trish Tipping, who is the manager of the fitness centers, and actually she also forwarded that on to the president's office.
That's more of a, it's not my fault, it's yours.
Deferred maintenance problem.
So doesn't that impact the student body?
It impacts student body, but the question was actually when are they going to be upgraded for all of the CU community?
Right. So my point is that's something where I would collaborate with the student assemblies and others that pay tuition and service fees. That's usually
a lot.
I'm just saying on behalf of us, if I had 3 children in college or whatever, I know how tuition and fees work. I would say it's not just a employee assembly concern. I think it's a whole. You know, I think that effort should be tunnel or should be. That should be together, that message with other assemblies, you know, faculty and all.
We may want to send that to Jim Blair.
To the the UA. Okay. That's a good suggestion. Thank you.
I thought that, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I thought Mary did a really nice job prepping and providing the feedback that we channeled sort of through her. You know, he used like the One Cornell, you know, some of those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I think he incorporated nicely sort of the direction that we gave him.
Yeah.
So who met with the president or Mary pre speech yesterday and gave those talking points. That's what I understand. Since
Bridget and I met,
we've worked on it for a couple of weeks ahead of time. We also worked with the response to the employee survey team because a lot of the speech was geared towards some of that information there with the what was going on there.
I thought the presentation did really well. I thought the only thing that I would like to see a better job, and I heard actually a lot of comments about, was the email that you sent out the day before and the formatting. I just didn't think it was a very professional email about the response to the results of the staff engagement that you sent out. And if you can just work on that, because I think that was also reflective, and I think a lot of staff who I heard wasn't even interested in going to the presidential address. They were like, if he's going to send out an email like that. And I don't think it's him, but it's just all.
What were the problems with formatting? Because mine came through okay.
Oh, really? It was just all one line. You can see the different, like there was a copy and paste to here. I mean, it was.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Mine did not come across that way either.
Droid or Apple product are you using?
I have a PC.
But I'm glad that you brought that up. The response to the survey team also worked with the president's office. Yeah, we had gone to Mary and said that we thought that the president should be communicating where we're at and giving an update to the whole community. There was a draft sent to the president of what we were hoping for him to say. It was scaled down quite a bit. That's his office and his prerogative to do that. I do have to note that I was extremely pleased that the president decided to include his full response unedited, and it is on the website. So what we had talked about a couple meetings ago is out to the whole community. I applaud the president for his transparency there. I thought that was a really good sign. What would you had liked to have seen in
the... Well, I think it was just the format. I mean,
okay.
One of the concerns people had was like, I would not be able to send this type of email to my boss or to my constituents.
Did anybody else see the same type of formatting that Curtis is referring to?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I had to keep trying to read it. Like I started reading it like three times.
Yeah.
It was like all. Yeah.
Curtis, would you be comfortable replying back to the president's office and letting them know that there was a problem?
Okay.
I think that's really important. That maybe he's not even aware of it. That's a good idea. The other question that came in rather late was. Regarding the Cornell's Children's Tuition Scholarship Program and how it affects need-based finance for families of Cornell employees. I did get a reply back that it is not at all done on a need base. The tuition assistance is brought in under the student's Social Security number, so it reduces the amount of federal aid, but it does not affect what the parent contribution is. And then also the suggestion that make sure that you reach out to students or to schools where the student may be interested just to make sure that it is handled differently by different schools. So,
isn't that the point of that question, though? Because if it reduces the amount of available federal aid, it's really not acting as a parental benefit for the child, as the parent's contribution. You know what I mean? It's more of like a scholarship for the child than the parent's contribution to the child.
Doesn't that affect the parent's contribution?
No.
Two separate things.
Yeah. So I think if I'm understanding the question correctly, if they're asking why does that reduce the amount of available aid to the student, when it's the benefit of the parent that should be receiving that, and that should, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So why is it reducing the student contribution aid, not the parent contribution aid?
your contribution aid impact federal.
Okay.
Like Pell Grant, your whatever, school grant.
Well, the reply back from Maureen Brill, who works in benefit services, says that the benefit does not impact the amount determined to be the estimated family contribution. The benefit is received by the schools under the student social security number and therefore reduces the federal aid that has been calculated as part of the student's financial package.
So what it's basically saying is when you do your FAFSA form and it picks up that ESG, your GSP is not going to change, but what's going to change is the difference between the students. So it's basically like at Cornell, if you get that benefit, they're going to take out the Cornell grant and pick that benefit here. And you're still going to have to pay whatever the ESG contribution is if you have a high ESG.
But I mean, in theory, if you have a high ESG, there should be an issue with the family contract, you know what I mean? Like that.
But that's the business. It's the idea. Like if you're going to pay $50, but you think you get 35% off, but then you realize you're still going to have to pay $20,000 and maybe it's cut to $80 and all that kind of stuff.
Is that something that we should be looking for more clarification on? I think. Has anybody experienced using the children's tuition benefit?
Yes.
Yeah?
It had nothing to do with me, but so she didn't go for now.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'll look to see if the employee has any need for additional follow-up and go from there. Oh. Did we get a chance to look at the polling that was done?
Well, I briefly took at least what was given to me yesterday from the four or five of us that were trying to corral people in. Not everyone was questioned. Some of them quickly passed by. Some of them, I think we managed to get one question in.
Oh, yeah, some members just standing around, not really helping.
I know. Those that did and could, I compiled it into the two questions that from the communications committee with Eric. Pulled through was how did you hear about the event and how many times have you attended. So you did the little blitz, you see the little graph, gives an idea. Paw print was one of the main ones, email communication as well. Word of mouth was probably the third one that we got. Colleagues mentioning it, calling, dragging new employees as well. In total, what we managed to get down from the tally was at least, you know, the 215. Then when you look at the how many attended the event, we managed to, that was the second paper in the sheet, so that probably didn't get that many. It was 136 responses. And if you look at both, it's quite funny to see that it's the first time is the highest number, as well as then those that have been going for 5+ years that have been working for Cornell for probably 20-some. It's that middle crew that seems to drum up greatly. So it'd be interesting to see the comparison of the attendance, whether last year, 3-4 years ago.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then I believe that Joe had a really good thought for next time as far as getting the word out.
Yeah, before that, two quick things. One is I appreciate the president stayed within 30 minutes. I looked when he was done talking. It was like 12:33. And I don't even know, did we start at 12?
No, we didn't start until 12.
So he was good, really. Not... You know, it was good, really nice and tight. The other thing was, do we know how many people watched it online live? That's my big question. We don't know if there's a shift in technology of people that I know down in Seneca Place with a few hundred employees.
Yeah.
And so do you have that data?
Eric, the chair,
where was find that?
Well, I would ask the IT folks, whoever. There's got to be a way. I just know. I know that we know how many students check a review session.
I can see if we were tracking that.
And if not, is it some technology we can use in the future? Because there could be people remotely from other, you know. Because I wouldn't be concerned if the numbers dipped or not, but it's still a good turnout if there could be a couple hundred people watching it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do we do a seminar, also a follow-up on that says, if you missed it, here's the link, go check it out?
That's my next question. It will be available, right? It will be available.
Yeah, that would be good, I think. Just to, you know, let people...
I wouldn't put it at the bottom. I'd recommend, in case you have users that don't read the whole thing, to the bottom, Nancy, really, please put it in the beginning of your article.
The Cornell Sun was there. I wonder, did anybody see the sun today to see if they...
Okay. Just because of the attention span, if you probably wouldn't wait till the end of...
Yeah, what was in the sun?
It was on the front page.
Did it also mention that the chair was not available for comment?
I
didn't get the email until late last night. They had looked for me directly afterwards and was hoping for some information, but I actually was trying to make a 1 o'clock meeting at East Hill Plaza, so. Things happen.
I know. So my idea was, or suggestion was, A, I don't know from the president or provost's office if they encourage their deans at each school to attend that can, but I would say two things. If they don't, one, the letter from Skort was nice, even though it had some
formatting
issues, but I think it would be nice before that to have all the deans of each school to re-message that, be that their staff should feel welcome to attend from their school or their unit. And secondly, we know that deans are very busy with their schedules, but since we know how many months ahead the date is, I would encourage the provost and the president from their office to highly encourage attendance of their deans visible in the front area of it, because it's only going to send the message of real community and family if there's some executive staff there, other than Tommy Bruce that's leaving us to go to Dartmouth. That's all.
I think that's a really good suggestion.
What I'd be interested in is, but of course, I know you didn't have time to fully, is what that email was. Was it because the president's email of the day before, or is it an email to get with the work life at Cornell?
Yeah.
I think it was the work life, but then that one being forwarded via email.
I just think, how often does the dean send an email to their own unit, and when they do, people tend to typically listen and read it if it's something of substance, and I think you can only just reiterate the sense of community by coming from the deans and also some kind of attendance from them. Granted, they're all over the world and all different places, but there's certain times in North Dakota.
Someone representing each college, maybe?
Management committee members.
Yeah.
Certainly the EA can extend an invitation directly to the deans. And if it comes from the president, they'd probably carry
more weight.
Thanks.
Well, guys, any other follow up? Tanya? Alan?
And maybe next year, think about moving it.
Moving it to another location?
Just because we did that in the campus for a couple of years, and now we're doing Valley for a couple of years, maybe think about.
Yeah, that depends about our area. We're all obviously quite far up with.
It's been there before, though.
Has it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Shouldn't it always be centralized, though? I mean, I'm sorry those that are on the outskirts, but...
I like to.
Right, let me ask you this. Why... Everywhere, someone has central to them, so either people who are on the outskirts have to travel in, or the people who are in the center have to travel out. I mean, we're not capturing those people around to travel in because they can't add a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's online.
Right, but if the person is wanting to get, I'm just saying, you know, why not change it up?
So where would, what are venue options?
Well, we could go, I'm sure there's some place in RPCC, maybe?
There is an auditorium. I'm pretty sure it would not hold. It's not big enough. Yeah, I think it's only about 200.
The best school. Daily.
We have just under 400.
I can't remember. Oh, okay, good.
Just
well,
under 400.
That college is losing its development lecture hall construction.
Not yet. We still have a year. We won't dig in
So we could do it next year. After that, then we might be a bit iffy on the construction.
Perhaps it would have been on the whole thing moving down the maybe we could have like satellite area and have large like computer access facilities so they can display it there on the extremity.
Or have it live on the street. We could have some big screen auditorium.
It'd be a nice kickoff to say goodbye to that beautiful hall that you're carrying
on. Could do.
But doesn't that also then detract from
getting
people there? Because like, isn't the point to see a room full of employees with the president?
So what I would say is, I feel like Daly Hall looks really good. I mean, I know we have more than some people there, but it looks pretty, from my perspective, it looks pretty good.
The picture that was on the
stomach
is up to like four people.
Yeah, I mean, it looks pitiful. I wouldn't have thought that we had four people there, because it looks bad.
Looks like a giant shape.
Change that. If we had almost 400 people there and then you put it in the short center, it's full. I mean, it would look like almost everything is full. So I just think, you know, maybe think about changing stuff up.
So how many is the bottom of David holds?
The whole bottom holds just over 1,000.
Wow.
So it's always almost empty.
Yeah.
There was no uniform part of
the there about to force people to sit.
Well, that's the thing, unless closing off the side one, you know, and just forcing them in the center bottom.
In the pit.
Which
in the pit.
For certain things. But that requires pretty robust ushering staff, which we would have to.
We would have to do.
Well, a lot of people said that they needed to sit near a door because they had to be out of there at 1. I mean, they were on a stringent time thing, and I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was difficult to get people down in front because they knew they had to leave.
Well, because they were there for the 11:30 start time.
There were some people they showed
up. I was there 11:15 yesterday with a few of us.
Mm-hmm.
I was amazed the number of people that read whenever they read the original messaging.
And they never looked at it.
And they marked the calendar. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of people coming in, and your colleague was trying to herd him out of the hall. But too bad.
I just would just say if we continue to stay at Valley Hall, we should check for people because David has been next to me
so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we had over 400 last year, and we had just over
350?
Yeah.
I don't know, how many programs were printed?
300.
Yeah.
That was really quickly.
It was towards the end, and it wasn't that long. I mean, I was handing out more programs than not, and so I'm not surprised that it would be about 350.
I can check. That was my recollection of the
salary. I think we should be open to considering changes in the venue. The buses run everywhere. Would the auditorium at the vet school be
James Wall?
And is there a fee for that? Or would do you think we'd
check the schedule?
Yeah.
I don't think they have any classes in there.
Yeah, no, we just schedule it for my event. So I can find out.
That would be a good idea. Any other suggestions for changes?
If we don't do it now, it's kind of...
We don't have a date yet.
Well, we don't have a date yet, but, I mean, at least looking ahead, trying to find out what possibilities are.
Tanya did her presentation to the board of directors in Milstein Auditorium, and Brian was just thinking, that's a nice auditorium, too.
It is.
It's a new building people may not have been to. It's not exactly central, but it's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if it's hot and we try to put everyone in James Law, that's...
The ones with the bleachers?
Three. I don't think that's big enough.
If David was here, he'd be able to tell us.
They can put all the AAP in there around. So.
We can find out.
Yeah.
What's that one?
It's
a lot of money.
A lot of money.
It wasn't available this year, we tried.
Yeah.
So there's exceptions to everything. Especially this coming from the president's office.
Yeah, I mean
we can also make $3 sandwiches. Don't have it.
It would be nice for hospital people who can
not have talked to you before to have it in the backyard once.
Yeah, I think it would be a good suggestion. I would like to look into that further.
This is an annual event.
It is an
annual
event.
Why is it not a term event?
Oh, Joe.
Money.
Money?
Money.
What about?
I mean, yeah.
Because lunch?
Renting the venue, the food, the, all that.
For our own executive officer to...
Yes, Tanya.
What about a fall with David and spring with Mary?
See, that's what I'm saying. It needs to be... If it's a community...
She wanted,
because
she had that input. She
kind of
issued
it. I think it should be a little, that's what I'm saying, yeah, something in the spring, because it's just like our recognition our day, it's coming up with the food and the, then we do that, a term, you know.
And then we ask for a budget increase, right, Joe?
Sure. We increase the care fund, we can increase it.
All right, well, we'll ask Mary what she thinks.
It's a good thing. It's a positive thing. It's just... Always be in front of your constituents, you know.
What about her reward at that?
Oh, no. Now we're in and try. Here we go.
All right, Michelle. Good luck.
Thanks.
Any other feedback before we move on? Oh, you'll give it here. What
number do I put in pockets? Around how many?
Put close to 400 people.
Yeah, say
put close to.
Well, close to 400.
To 400 people.
My daughter's learning rounding right now.
There
so
you
it's
go.
Almost to 400.
It's 400.
Common Core. Yeah.
I don't know if you talked about it ahead of time, but our moderator, our email moderator, he did a great job.
Yeah, he did.
Thanks for the coming out question. I don't know how one increases the ability to get more questions contemporaneously right in the moment, but.
Okay, so are we ready to move on to report from the chair, the employee survey response team update? The team did meet earlier this week, trying to decide if we're ready to call it a wrap. We feel that we've actually completed our charge. We looked at the survey results and sent forth our recommendations. There is some concern about following up on those recommendations. So right now we're thinking quarterly meeting and getting updates from the different committees. And sounds like a good plan to me. I will be meeting with Greg and Mary and Alan on Monday. On the agenda will be also going back to the next date, target date for the next survey. So that's about all we have. Tanya, did you have anything else to add?
No.
Okay.
Did everybody get a chance? We share the results.
The reply back from the president? No.
Yeah, everybody saw the report from the president.
Mm-hmm.
Before, right?
Yes.
The response, yep. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, it's online. And I think I mentioned that before you came in, that I really applaud the president for putting it in his response in entirely online, and I thought that was really great. Old business. Any community appointment updates?
No, I do have a tentative lecturer who might come and discuss things with us, but she's herself, again, quite surprised that she would even be considered staff, but, you know, sorry. And so she did say that the needs of the professional academic do need to be met, and that they would love to be participating in committees. And
mm-hmm.
I also took space with our HR reps, and without even saying why I was asking,
they called me.
Did they? But bluntly asking, I said, "So, in your opinion,
mm-hmm.
all our senior lecturers, this, that, you know, where would you put them?" And immediately, "Oh, faculty."
Mm-hmm. And that is an agenda item for our meeting with Mary as well. We did talk about that briefly at the response to the survey team meeting, and we didn't really feel like it felt that team's purview to be trying to figure that out. The suggestion was definitely a good one to take it to Mary and see where she feels we can move forward and how we can better represent that group.
We want to maybe schedule Joe Burns to come to a meeting, the dean of faculty, and talk about the issue. Because I think the more we've started to hear chatter about this, they don't consider themselves employees in the way that all of us who work so hard and support, you know, various aspects of campus consider ourselves employees. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
definitely in this academic
mm-hmm.
mindset.
Well, because we're their support staff.
Yeah.
So why do they want to get, we are their support staff to get their job done.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, it's, I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering, too. I really
why?
Think
that's the UA has no, I mean.
Well, no, the UA would be, if, let's say hypothetically, a new school would be created, wouldn't that be?
Yeah, but you have to start with, you have to release them from a current assembly before a new one can start. Because currently, they're covered under our, they're covered under us as one of our constituent groups. So we would need to release them before any discussion would happen at the UA. And do they even need their own assembly, or should the dean of faculty and the faculty senate absorb them?
Yeah.
But I think that's a really good point about why it maybe should go to the UA, because we're asking those questions.
Maybe we should make a motion to release them. And
well,
I think maybe it might be a UA question, like do an exploratory committee of
mm-hmm.
figuring out what is the status of you and what is the best solution possible. Because I think that we as a support staff in this room, we're not diverse enough in order to answer that question. But I think there's members in the UA that are multiple faculty, from students, from graduate professional organizations, and I think there's a more of a knowledge base there that can answer the question.
But the SA and the GPSA, I mean, really don't have any place to be at this.
They're being mentored by those people we're talking about.
Yeah, but it's not about your rep. I mean, you don't go to your
not as a professional, not the ones that are writing even grants under a PI title, but yet not academic.
Stephanie Rossman.
Sure.
She was a graduate student for a long time, even though she was a lecturer. She always was a lecturer, but she's given her PhD in hotel school.
Yeah, but so she was covered, though, under the employee assembly, not the GPSA, because the primary role at the university was that of an employee prior to it being a student.
But she could have. I mean, they did include an IB student. I mean, that's why it's interesting. You don't know. That's why she's a very complex student. That's why
I think Connie had a comment.
I think we as the EAs, because we currently are the governing body for them, I think we need to decide and make some sort of statement that we either do think that we can represent them and determine a way to do that, or say we can't represent them for X reason. And then I think it's not really a UA question. I think it's us and the faculty senate to get together and talk about, gee, do they belong with you? If we don't think they belong with us, if they think the same thing, then maybe it has to be a joint recommendation from those two groups. To say a third arm needs to be created, or a fifth arm, whatever it is, to encompass this group of people.
Yeah. Just yesterday, a brand new council was formed, the Academic Services Council, chaired by Mary and John Silitano from the Provost Office. I'm on that with representatives of each of the colleges, some HR, some not, and every college is represented there. And this topic came up, about the role of academic professionals, if you will. So I suggest we, as you said right at the beginning, we bring this up with Mary and report back to the group, because this is not something the status in general, not just representation, is something that's being focused on. There's no other place to do that council. So Connor's there. The role of the faculty senate was discussed. The truth is that for some purposes, some of these people are affiliated in one way. For other purposes, they're affiliated in another way. And in some cases, there's no policy covering them. In some cases, there is. So this group, as reported yesterday, was going to look into that. So my suggestion is let's bring that up. It was brought up, somebody mentioned at this group yesterday, that the EA does have technical representation responsibilities. And I think you can report that to this body and get some guidance as to where this might go.
Okay. We'll go ahead and do that. And I just have a quick question. That council was created because?
To address academic HR policy.
Okay.
And potential revision to academic HR policy.
Okay.
I'm guessing that would have included probably classification, hierarchy, and everything, which would then encompass.
The first role suggested by Mary was to work on definitions.
Okay. Maybe rolling into the committee appointments, we do have one more member position outstanding that is a non-exempt position. I do believe that it would be a good idea to advertise that. And then Curtis, I was wondering if that's maybe something that I could ask you to maybe take the lead on. And I don't think it's too early to start working on recruitment for the next term.
I'd be happy to help with the replacement, but I'm not sure.
Are you running?
You'll be running.
For the election?
Yes. Okay, so then we need a new chair for the election committee.
Well, everybody that's not running for re-election is on
the committee. Okay. Eric, will you be running? Okay. Pilar will not be running. Pilar, is there a chance that I could get you to work with the communications committee and start working on getting the word out?
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. Awesome, thank you. Moving on to the budget update, unless anybody has any other questions about.
Okay, so Mike Powers is able to obtain the latest document from Ari before, Ari. Before he went to grad school at Syracuse. So our budget last year was $7,950. We did get an increase of $1,700 to $9,650. The actual cost of last year, not yesterday, but last year's president's talk was about $2,500, depending on if unless our food costs or other facilities costs went up at Bailey Hall or anything like that, we can assume about $2,500 for yesterday. If that's true, and we're going to talk about Mary doing a spring event, we need to go to whoever we need to go to and ask for an amended budget of an additional $2,500 for the spring. To cover that cost, because as I look at the line items, and again, it's a working document we can share with everybody, it's just an Excel file, I don't see us being able to whittle away $2,500 from elections and communications and fleece, whatever, in there somewhere. But so seriously, I think it sounds like we're going to move forward and pursue a spring event. That's an amendment, and how do you ask for more money to help? Who do we go to on that?
Well, it's already been approved for this year, so I don't think you'd be able to.
Yeah, you do. You do mid-year amendments, just like
the amendments to move money, but if you're going to add $2,500, that's not an amendment. I think you'd have to wait for next year's budget to add.
No. Like right now, our dean's taken away $1 million from all of our budgets. I mean, it's just reallocating. So who approves?
You can ask Mike, but I'm pretty sure he's going to tell you.
So I mean, I'm the finance person, but if you could and let me know, we need to tell Mike formally we need an amendment to the budget to increase our funding $2,500 this year to fund.
If we go ahead and hold another event.
Right. So I mean, I'm leaving that to you to make that call with him. I don't see why we're not going to hold it. You still have to have a dialogue with Mary.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
Green
a huge change. Right. That, I was just thinking that too.
Yeah, I don't have this. I don't have the object code breakdown. It's just in the line level. I would be curious to see. I need to get further detail. Is within each object code, what are the sub costs? I have no idea what the. So let's be honest with the group here. How many people attended yesterday for the primary issue of listening to the president talk with the secondary bonus of leaving with a lunch? And will that, I mean, just being honest with the group here. And I am all in favor of being lean, but there has to be some kind of incentive. It is people's lunch hour, unless you find a flex time that everyone can do it at 9 a.m. or 3 p.m. I think it's be responsible of us to actually still provide a lunch. Should we do it at the lunch hour? That's all I'm saying is you're going to...
I like the idea of 3 p.m. because a lot of the audience, in particular, there's no way it can
And it gives us a chance to try, like I always do. You always try something once, you never know. So we try it once in the afternoon at 3, and frozen yogurt is something healthy too.
Sandwiches cost $1,600. They're $3.50 each.
I was going to say this might be, it's probably too cold for icing, but do it at the Friday of the start of spring break. Like in the afternoon. So, like, you know, spring break usually starts at noon or something for the students, so there's some more classes. So maybe have like a 2 o'clock to think of another snack.
Keep it up.
Because it's still winter, I mean, in March, but that might be. Just in terms of passing out time, so dining's not worried about it. There's not necessarily students here.
So either way, whichever way we go, if we do move forward, I think it's fair to say that this budget will need some kind of amendment with an increased expense, whether it's 2,500 or 2,000, whatever, 500. I think, you know, that's just my input. So as far as the budget, that's that. The budget, we got our increase, and that's good, so... Anybody have any questions about the budget? If you don't have it, I can certainly send it to the assembly, the spreadsheet that shows all the line items. It's not, it's our group, it's not confidential.
When's our next one due?
Budget?
Yeah.
Let's see through the budget in the spring. Get it approved somewhere in March, April.
Okay.
That's the budget.
Linda and I had another idea that came up here. What, if we wanted to do it at lunchtime, maybe and then see if we can get like the VPs and whatnot coming through.
Sorry. The only issue I have with that is I think the lead time of that process could really tax the purpose of someone presenting. I mean, that's more of a PR community thing, and I like that idea, but when the president starts at noon or shortly thereafter, it's a game on, and even though food's not allowed, I think it's a good reason it's not allowed during, because then people bolt and grab their lunch. I'm just saying, so it depends on what our goal or objective is.
Well, that's a great suggestion. Things to think about.
On that note, though, speaking of VPs serving the community, is there any more discussion with, like, the RED committees or those welcome to work events where they pass out donuts or, you know, cookies or apples? Has anybody heard more of that like they did last fall?
Like the ice cream one they just did?
I was
going to
say, there's just one recently.
They did one in August, beginning of the school year.
No, they just did one a couple weeks ago.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Where?
The
yes.
they did it in the end of August or the very beginning of September. It was like that really random whole day.
Yeah.
What did they do?
Ice cream.
Where?
Different locations.
There's about four different locations on campus.
Yeah. Oh, so they went from the 16 that they had before to four. Okay.
Yeah. No, I
can
take it. I can
add
Karen.
Okay.
By the way, is there anybody that would like to volunteer to be on that committee? Bridget was on the Employee Recognition Committee.
I'll help out.
Well, let me get back with Karen. The problem is that they're really looking for someone who could commit to being at all these events.
Oh, I can't.
And that's the tough part.
So I'm beyond, I do want free help. That's one thing, but I can't.
So I'll reach out to Karen and get an exact of what she's really
looking for.
Okay. Yeah, it's quite a commitment.
Not even like phone meeting.
Wow. So let's move on, if everybody's okay with the budget update for now, to the employee care fund.
So a miracle happened yesterday. I don't know who in this room knew that, but after the announcement was made, and we were obviously going into a $6,000 deficit, it was nice that the president had announced the replenishing, the shot in the arm of $25,000. I talked to Beth McKinney afterwards. She said it was a surprise to her. So I don't know how that, again, I guess it's more about, it's wonderful that they did that and injected that money into that. I thought it was great that we worked with, and I think I'm going to get her name wrong, is it Aaron that I met with a few weeks ago? Aaron wasn't there. She could be there, but how her team had the table outside of Bailey Hall to... We gave recognition to the Workday Committee, but because of Workday, we currently cannot do direct deposit into the CARE Fund. We used to be able to do it pre-Workday. So what the table was all about was having the forms for auto withdrawal, direct deposit. You have to do a paper process right now. That's kind of sad to see that was a setback in that system upgrade, that they lost the ability to do it online. But what was nice was it was good visibility for the CARE Fund. Whoever helped with the president's speech, so thank you for putting a plug in for the president. Did a wonderful job with that. So as far as my concern with the CARE Fund, step one is done, which is this current year is okay. Step two is, as my original goal was, how do we endow it and ensure its sustainability of year after year? We know this is a wonderful cause. We know it's never going to go away. And we know every year we need $25,000 on average. And what I've always thought with anything above and beyond that, meaning current fundraising, auctions, and all that stuff, should go above and beyond that to help support the overall fund. But I think the reality is that the fragmented people that are trying to help volunteer and put together that fundraising are never going to reach currently about $25,000 a year. So my next step with the CARE Fund, and I'll turn it over to the committee here, is I'm very happy. It's awesome what happened yesterday. It's great. But we're going to be back in this position about 9 months with FY15. So.
How much, do you know, Joe, how much money we need to start initial investment after earnings? I know there's a set amount.
I couldn't get out Charlie Flagler or anything. It was turned down, the even idea of endowing it. But generally speaking, like if you're going to... Generally speaking, and I don't know with Cornell, but you know, I do development work. You know, you raise a scholarship, $100,000, you draw 5%, you do a professorship, $3 million. You can't, just like they're talking about investments underwater, you can't cap an endowment until it's fully endowed, which could take several years. So you have to put a bucket of money in separate from your operating costs. It's the endowment fund. Depends on what the school and administration sets as a threshold to endow and then draw up a year after year about 4 to 6%.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what we would need to have to
start. About, yeah, well, the endow to offer $25,000 a year is $5 million. So, again, we're just going to be in an operating spending. Unless there's a trustee or someone out there that a gift that actually gave to endow the CARE Fund.
Who do we talk to about asking?
What, asking what?
Asking alumni.
That would go through Charlie Flagler, the Senior Officer of Development and Funding. But half the tie back into this group talking, having a nice chat with with Mary, because Charlie Flagler said that the president's executive committee meets, each person has like a liaison or talks about a subject matter on behalf. So Mary really would be our person talking on behalf of the CARE Fund dialogue with like Charlie and the president and whatever senior officer, the provost, to say, is this a real tangible objective? Can the university take some ownership in trying to help fundraise it? And then let the experts do it, like a Charlie and his team. There's a way you do matching funds. You do a trustee challenge. I mean, there's so many ways to do it. But it has to go back to helping with Mary talking to that, that crew.
So can we recruit Mary to do that on our behalf, to start that, at least start the dialogue?
It's her comfort level. I mean, it goes back to the conversation with thank you for this year's
mm-hmm.
injection,
mm-hmm.
But you know, like I said a year ago when we all met with them, you were there, Tanya.
Yeah.
You know, we really are trying to get this to self-sustain itself. So that's the larger conversation that needs to go back to Mary to represent us. Yeah.
I think this is what Mary wants. Mary's expressed that we need to give her kind of a written plan of what we actually want to do. She just doesn't want us to go back and say, Mary, you can act on our behalf. It's not her role to devise the strategy for us. She wants us to devise
right.
the strategy and say, you know, how are we going to do this? What can we do? What do we need her to do? So if we just need her to go to Charlie Flager, then we need to say, please, you know, we would like you to go to Charlie Flager and ask that this be a strategic priority.
Yeah, you just add it to your capital campaign. So once we have a strategy, the objective and the dollar amount and the goal, then it's alumni affairs and development that puts in the umbrella of capital campaign, from annual fund to building the Gates building to whatever. Another priority the trustees need to help with is we're trying to get the CARE Fund now. So the how to get to that dollar amount and stuff is still going to be up to, if it's truly an endowment, it's still up to the fundraisers. But we can have the dialogue without a full-blown plan, because that's not our expertise. Our goal is we'd like to see the CARE Fund endowed with a yield of $25,000 per year operating costs, which is about a $5 million endowment. That's the easy way. And sorry, $25,000. Yeah. $5 million we need, yeah.
So the story is 5%.
5%.
$500,000.
No, hold on.
500.
Why did we have 5 million though?
We always have 500,000.
Is that all we have?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great then. Thanks for correcting my math. Yeah,
but 5 million is great.
Yeah, 500,000. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. Thanks for correcting my math.
A lead gift.
I'm off the zero.
So can we kind of put something together? We know we can't raise these funds. This is what we can do from a fundraising perspective for the staff. We need you to make an ask or to go to Charlie and say, we're talking to David and see if this can be a strategic priority for fundraising for the University of Alumni Affairs and Development. I think that's what.
Or even just ask her, what do we need to do for you in order for you to move forward now?
I think we can take this offline and let me get like an Aaron here so we don't tie up this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is Aaron has to work with administration. Aaron, I forgot. Aaron needs to work with, thank you, with the United Way. We talked about this before. The United Way has a campaign and it's competing and all that stuff. So there's more behind the scenes than just...
It's not competing.
So it's not competing, and I talked to the United Way folks, and they asked for some of the United Way folks, I should say. I'm on a working committee with that. And we're interested in looking at the possibility how we can run.
Right, but presently the CARE Fund has to watch its asks around the United Way campaign, is what Aaron said a couple weeks ago. So there's cycles.
Michelle had a comment.
Historically, how much do we give out per year, not counting that year of the bad flood?
Is it every year? Okay,
I thought it was a little bit less, too.
So what
it's becoming bigger.
One of my questions is, do we have to spend that $25,000 right away, or... Can't we live within our means a little bit and say we only have $15,000 to give out? Like, I'm sorry, folks, that's what we can give out now. We want to see this grow. We're working on seeing it grow. But what I fear is that we now have money, so we're going to go spend it. And then next year, we're going to spend in the same way, or there's going to be the same need, and we're going to spend it again. And then we're going to be looking 18 months from now at another $6,000 deficit because we didn't save anything. In my opinion, part of that $25,000 gift
should set aside in a savings account, even if it's not an endowment yet, but just for like the, you know, great flood or the tsunami or whatever that's going to happen and hit, we should have that sort of set aside, that we can each year off of our fundraising take 10% and put it into savings and live within our means. And it's unfortunate that there's greater need than we can afford, but we can't afford to afford everybody's problem.
That's really another way
something.
Yeah.
I like the idea of fundraising, but I kind of disagree.
Yeah.
That kind of money, because I think there's too much need if we have the money. I don't feel comfortable saying no to somebody.
But any budget you have has a reserve.
No, but the reality is, if you think about it, I come under budget with my multi-million dollar program. I don't get to roll it over. It goes back to the kitty. University reallocates. The point the point is, this is a service fund that's meant to be used. And where I agree with Curtis, what I'm trying to say, it's not to use it like the government so you don't get it back next year. It's we're doing a good deed by using those funds.
Well, we're not being good stewards of the fund if we're running deficits. Like, I'm sorry you have hardship and we want to help, but we're spending money we don't have. If we have a $6,000 deficit in any fund and there's no money or no plan to fill that coffer, and thank God Day Hall came through with a, you know, Hail Mary, We're not running the fund correctly. I mean, I can tell you, I can't turn in a budget where there's a deficit in the line item.
Well, yeah, we have a fund at the hospital. We have a fund at the hospital called the Jessica Fund, and that is there to give specific clients terrible situations they can't pay. It has to be approved by the clinician, so on and so forth. If there's no money in the Jessica Fund, it can't be used because there's nothing there. We can't transfer it onto those bills. So when the Jessica Fund has its allocated funds, we use it. We use it when it's needed, on when the clinicians tell us how we can do it. If there's no money there, we don't go into Jessica Fund's, you know, deficit. We can't. Not allowed.
And as far as the money maker, I've known some funds that have passed from, you know, that were employees and stuff. Is there a way to set up to give in memory of?
Yeah.
You know, the people who
like
working here, you know,
sure.
Have that.
thank you, Michelle, for that.
Do they have their own council?
I think a lot of people would donate to this fund if there was an easy way to do it.
Right.
You know, I'd like to give X amount of dollars.
Right.
We send an email and say, click here, and you can payroll deduct it.
I just am fearful of the management of the fund and not having any rainy day set aside. If we're always in current use, you know, and we can, you can set up the fund that says if you don't use it, it rolls back against the endowment and just continues to grow. It doesn't always have to be this big bad Cornell sucks up all your money if you have some left over at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We can structure the fund because of the unique nature of the fund to allow surplus to be either reinvested in an endowment at some point. Or I honestly think we should always have some money aside, because there's going to be some year where there's going to be $40,000 worth of need, and then we're not going to have any money. And wouldn't it be nice to, over the next 10 years, be able to have, you know, $40,000 set aside as a cap and say, wow, we can now pull from that and pay out to that. Because that's what every office or every dean's office does. They have that discretionary oh crap fund.
I would chime in and say, I mean, this is a fund that was given to be used. It's not like an operating fund. It was $25,000 to be given to be distributed, not to be put towards an endowment, but it's put out there to be used. So why shouldn't we?
Well, we are using it, but we're just being good stewards of how we're using it. We're using it when we, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm a minority opinion.
I would say that this seems like a much bigger conversation.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So we've got to come to this.
If I could add just a couple of points, please. One, I think the president did a really good job of reminding us of what this fund was originally established, what it meant, employees caring about employees. Not alumni parents caring about employees, not deans and trustees. It's
right.
Employees caring about employees. With that said, I would like us to really continue to investigate and perhaps try to move along the payroll deductions. I mean, I for one think a lot of people would not mind having a dollar deducted every paycheck to go to the fund.
That's what Aaron's goal is.
And if we could maybe work on that goal, we don't have to give up on the endowment. We can certainly continue to push for that. But I do think that that would be something that is.
Can we take a poll of the employee giving? For employees?
Take a poll or take the donation. take the donation form.
If you could get 5,000 people to give
$1
every year, let's just say there's for easy math, there's 24 picks. Depends on where you fall.
Okay.
You know, so 26 even better.
Right.
A dollar every time. That's $120,000 in a year. You do that over 5 years, it's $600,000. You have your endowment plus. But if we want to use the current line of thinking, if we're going to raise $120,000, we're going to give it all away all at once.
Well, I think that this year was an exception that they were probably told to continue on so we get an answer. So that's probably how they got into the deficit. They don't normally run in the deficit, I'm quite sure. So
maybe we could add a buck to the employee day ticket.
I don't know. How many
$5 for a meal and a game is pretty good getting.
Yep. Lots of different ideas there. So maybe we can set up a meeting, Joe.
Well, I invite Aaron
here
to the October 16th meeting, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We need speakers, and that would be nice to be educated on what currently happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the second thing was, I think it'd be nice if the Workday team that just got an honorary award yesterday would work on the priority list of helping figure out how to automate this system.
Here's what I can tell you about that. Our priority is making sure that everyone gets their paycheck, and we are not getting paychecks.
Still. Okay. Well, that obviously is the first part.
So until we get that, but I don't know what's not working with Rick. I'll take that back.
Ask Beth McKinney. She knows.
How this is working.
The availability to go to the website and do a new first-time auto deduction. That's what's now. So it's not the ability.
It's not the deviation.
It's for people that want it. Yeah. And Beth knows. She was. Okay.
One other thing I just want to throw out because I've been mulling this, and everybody knows that with the new change in like your vacation use it or lose it is now in October, and it would be great. Not
everybody knows that.
What?
I didn't know that.
October 15th is the new use or lose it instead of July 1st. So this would be a great time to get new rates to buy, because this would be a great time for employees who maybe have too much time they're going to lose it but can't take the time off to say. Is there a way to donate those vacation days to the care fund?
And give us like 50 cents on dollar, whatever it is.
Department usually out that percentage.
That is exactly a great idea. It's a great idea.
Because if that employee, or even like, I know I would sit there and say, well, gee, I donate the vacation day. Who wasn't, you know, maybe what?
So my only question with that thing is who pays for that?
The department's going to pay for that day anyway.
Only if you take it.
Well,
if I
need to
pay it.
Sure, but that's a big what if.
Yeah. Well, but that's a really good point. And actually, that did come in. There was another email that came in with a lot of different suggestions. Too much to go into right now. I'm still researching some of them. But one of the concerns that came up, or the question that came up, was is there a way to cash out your vacation time? And correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, but looking at the 9.6 policy, and the question and answer section there on vacation time, and if there's anything changing, it does state that the excess is not to be carried over to the next fiscal year. Requests for exceptions on maintaining accruals beyond this may be considered only if the staff members are specifically requested to forego taking the vacation due to pressing business needs. So there may be cases where someone right now is saying, oh, I really got I got time I need to use, but then they're told, oh, you can't go on vacation, we need you right now. And so requests for such exceptions are considered on a case-by-case basis. And then it also mentions here that there is a possibility that the vacation time could be cashed in depending on the situation on a case-by-case basis. Is that also your understanding of it? Is that something new, or has that always been the case?
due to policy. Yep. I don't know if individual units or colleges have been doing that on their own, but it's new as a general feature of policy. It gives the unit in consultation with the employee the flexibility where the trigger happens. That is, if they're not able to use it because they were basically told not to,
mm-hmm.
either carry it over or pay it out. There are, or both, carry some, pay some. It's just more flexibility, more options.
The normal business volume does not constitute a justification for that. It has to be like extreme business volume where, you know, you were assigned a project that had short implementation periods and then all you had to focus on the fact that we, you know, blew a year out of the park in terms of volume in the hotel, or, you know, you had more than higher recruitment trips or whatever it may be, doesn't constitute to have that paid out.
No.
It's only in extreme business circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people say, well, I asked for a vacation on this week and I was told no, but that's because you asked to go in October and maybe October is really busy for you when you should be asking to go in February when you can take vacation.
Well, the idea is for supervisors and staff to talk about this at least annually, maybe at the performance dialogue time, when you're talking about all sorts of things.
Quarterly.
So that there's no surprise October 1st. Wait a minute. I've got 2 weeks to take this off, and now I want to take it off. And also, no, we've got 15 college campus stores that we have to do. So
some employees will take weeks off and then make up just about every hour of that week in order to every year have time left over at the end where they are forced to take off.
Well,
every year, big surprise.
Is that gaming the system?
No.
At some point, though, Alan, when do you say you lose it? It's your responsibility to manage your...
It gets reset. This happened to
everybody.
It's been reset July 1 for, you know, for forever. And people know it or don't know it. I don't know how they deal with it.
It's only if you've tapped out on your
max. Yeah, you're over the max.
But on July 1st, all of our time was reset. It's like you get 3 days personal reset. So they extended the vacation to October because it made July was really hard for people. So it just moved that deadline. But like I know Workday Project is an example. That was a group of people who really were hard pressed not to take time off. So they may be able to say, okay, you know, we need an extension on this time for another year. I think the payout fee comes in when that second year kicks in and they still haven't taken the time. There's an association.
There used to be in the old days a way of giving your time to someone in need, like if you need to spend your time.
Yeah.
Is that still possible?
Yeah,
I don't know. Start
in a couple of days. It's catastrophic leave for that program.
We used to see a broadcast more, now I never see it tomorrow.
It's as a case by case, when the department has a need, then they put out an email and it starts locally and it can grow depending on the response. But everything I've been told, the response is always good. Colleagues come through right at the local level.
I just haven't seen that in a long time.
All right, well, that's something that maybe we can ask Mary if that's an option. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there's different ideas, and I know we've thrown around the dump and run as an idea as well. So there is a committee, the chair fund. Well, you're going to ask Aaron to come in.
Yeah. So Aaron somehow under the chair fund, there's a subcommittee that has Aaron and someone else helping do the fundraising.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Linda,
who's the chair fund committee? Should they come too?
It doesn't sound familiar. Yeah, whoever.
Okay. Well, if you want to reach out to them. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
Back to the agenda.
Moving on to the EA news. Eric, did we get through all the current members last year with a EA member profile?
No, no. I've got an empty list of dates.
Okay. Okay. For some of our new members, we would like to have a profile in the paw print of the EA members, and we want to. So, Eric, did you say you were going to send out an email to the group regarding those dates and who needs and who? Okay, we want to get going on those. When is the next one due? Do you know?
I think October.
Okay. All right.
But
did
I
you?
Have
okay. All right, great. And then you also were looking for suggestions. For the when are those needed?
Anytime. It's all your information. I'll type it up and send it out to the office. I've been no response.
I'm sorry, suggestions for what?
So for meetings, what you're working on, or things you might want to highlight.
Well, CareCons, right?
CareCons.
And maybe we can highlight the
because of the budget. Most definitely. Yeah, we have to be director award nominations. I just kind of gather stuff from the conference and from our meetings. Any other suggestions? Okay. The employee representative, I have not gotten anything back. I've sent out a couple of emails to different folks asking if they had anybody that they would like to recommend. One of them was to the ILR school. They have some staff members who are enrolled in the ILR master program. I was hoping that we would gather a couple from them, but we really do need to keep working on that. If anybody has any thoughts, please email. Let me know so that we can move ahead with getting some representatives over to the Ombudsman's office. Did you have a question, Leslie?
No, sorry.
Okay.
I'm looking for the phone. I'm just trying to, because you just said EA representative, I didn't know what you were trying to
do. Oh, representative, well.
Employee rep.
Employee rep, sorry. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then, just briefly, there was a mention that they were still looking for volunteers for the Employee Celebration Day. I don't know if anybody was available, but there's Employee Celebration email that you
What's the date?
The 14th of October, I believe?
12th.
The 12th, sorry.
It's Saturday, right?
Thank you. Oh, that's right. You go to the party. You should just head your party at the Employee Celebration. But that's it for me. Does anybody else have anything before we adjourn? Okay, I move to adjourn at 1:28.
Good meeting, thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.